us on the mic, talking life and what's it like. Middle age, it's quite the ride, finding joy and chasing pride. Career dreams and daily grind, funny moments that we find. Letting go of yesterday, making paths along the way. Middle age.
Hey, Trev.
Hey. Hi, Tim. How are you, buddy? As a reminder for those who have been here before and an intro for the first time listeners, hi, everybody. The Tim and Trev podcast is basically about life in our 40s and transitions and everything in between. And this season, we're focusing on unique passions. And we have a really great guest today who is very passionate about what he does. And we're going to get right into it real quick with Tim Norris. So quick preface here. We have Tim Norris, the guest. And then we have Tim Cummings, the host.
Two Tims.
Which
does that is that how does that make you feel?
That's a bit of a nightmare for me, considering. But you're very different people.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. It's not a nightmare. It's great.
All right, good.
There's only one of you, buddy. You want to get into the couples card game?
Yeah, let's play a couples card game. So the question for the week is: what is a meal that you love to cook? I'll go quick. You know, I'm going to kind of just shift this a little bit, if that's okay. There's been something that I've been cooking recently that's quick and easy, and at least one of my kids is eating it, which I'm really happy about. No, my kids are pretty good eaters, actually, so we're very fortunate there. But this is a simple wrap, right? So it's like a fried egg with arugula, and if you have blue cheese is great to just kind of sprinkle on top of that.
Wow.
And you could even throw some like avocado in there. So I've been making these little sandwiches, just, you know, we're busy, right? Oftentimes running out the door at the end of the day and whatnot for different activities. And it's just a quick and easy thing to put together to kind of boost my kids, boost myself, and keep moving. So
now, is it, you said fried egg. Is it only for breakfast, or do you guys
know, coincidentally, I had one about 30 minutes ago.
All right. There you go.
With Nolan.
And then is he the only one that eats it?
He's the only one right now. But I made a different egg sandwich for Quinn. Connor was in another room, so he was busy. But nice. Now you can, you know, we'll do this at different parts of the day. So
great,
quick meal, easy. We always have a lot of tortillas in the house. So using those a lot for like salad wraps and things of that nature.
Yeah,
but nice and easy. So
are you a flour or a corn tortilla guy?
Flour. You know, I'm going to just say this real quick, Trev, just to get it out of the way. Costco has a great two-pack that...
I don't think we're 3 minutes in and you already got it in there. Good job.
Well, I wanted to get it over with. So
I like it. I like it.
All right, talk to me, man. What do you got?
So I was gifted a big green egg. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Ooh,
it's one of those big smoker things, right? And I have to say it's so extravagant. I'm not sure that I would ever have gotten it myself, but it was an incredible gift. And I love the thing. I fully leaned into like the Midwestern dad in his 40s, like, you know, smoker or whatever. I don't have a tattoo or anything, but I'm pretty dedicated to the thing. And
cool.
I really love smoking salmon and smoking steaks on it. And then I also do a baked potato thing where you put the baked potatoes in olive oil and salt and pepper, and then you just put them directly on the grill for an hour. And that is like my go-to. It's not as time-consuming as like some of the briskets and stuff. I haven't gotten that brave yet, but it's really fun. I really like it. And it seems to be a crowd pleaser. Like, people like it. So, yeah.
That's cool, man. What is the, just in terms of time, like, what's the longest amount of time you spent smoking something?
6 hours.
Wow. And it turned out pretty nice?
Well, yeah, it was pulled pork. I like doing like a pork butt. And it's really good for big groups because it makes a ton of food and it's, you know, like $1 a pound or whatever, and people like it. Speaking of your tacos, it's like really good on tacos.
Oh, yeah, I bet. So, is it a lot of work to keep up with it, or is it a pretty simple process?
You know what? I have to admit, it was so intimidating to me that I left it on the pallet in my garage for like 7 or 8 months because I was so afraid of it. I was like, that is a whole level of cooking and stuff that I don't know anything about. Yeah. But I'm really glad I finally just like YouTube stuff and tackled it and went after it.
So, oh, that's cool, man. And it sounds like you still got a little bit to learn as it relates to
yes,
it as well.
A lot.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's kind of an endless thing, which makes it fun.
Oh, that's cool, man. I wish you luck with that. And I hope that someday I get to enjoy some of that smoked meat.
Yeah. Come on over, man. You're welcome.
I would love to. If it weren't, what is it, 8 hours?
Yeah, seriously. I wish we could meet halfway. I can't pull the thing. It weighs
a ton.
Bring
the smoker. Yeah. You have a truck.
You're right. I do. Yeah. I should get a trailer. We'll do that.
Yeah. Let's go to Pennsylvania and smoke some meat.
There you go. I'll take you fishing.
Cool.
Listener comments or questions. I don't have anything this week. Do you?
Nothing directly. You know, I keep hearing randomly from people just via mm-hmm. text that they're mm-hmm. they're enjoying it and getting a kick out of it. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's nice. And then it's followed up with, so can I get that $5 you promised?
It's a compliment followed by a debt collection. I like it.
I've given out so much money to get people to like us.
Well, your investments are paying off. I like it. If anybody does have a comment, question, you know, anything, constructive criticism, whatever you feel like sending us, timandtravpodcast@gmail.com. We'll put it in the show notes as well. We really do like getting your feedback. So even if you don't know us personally somehow and this has reached you, timandtravpodcast@gmail.com, or, you know, if we are in your circle of life, you can just slap Tim upside the head and tell him what you like.
Come on over and do that. And we will read it online. I think that that's an important point to make, that we love yeah. reading these things online. So,
yeah, it's fun.
You know, let's share your news and insights with others.
Yeah, for sure. And also, just throwing it out there, too, if you have a small business or a big business or something that you want to promote and you feel like this might be a good avenue for it, shoot us a line. We'll talk to you. We'll put your name out there and, you know, spread some good.
Great point, man. You know what we need to start doing, too? We need to start getting some background music for these different segments.
Ooh. All right, you can lay down the tracks for it. You're the musician.
Oh, my Lord. You don't want that to happen.
We'll call Roger. You have an awesome wife cool. moment?
I do, yeah. I mean, mine's just, you know, Chrissy's got a lot on her plate right now with work. It's a heavy season. Mm. And I'm just going to shout out her commitment and her fortitude. Like, she is an impressive human being, right? Mm. She's leaving early. She's home late. She's working her tail off, and she somehow still finds like the strength and the, you know, dedication to take care of everything else that's going on in her life. I mean, literally, like, she's out the door at 7:50. She's home at 7:50, you know, 7:30. Like, these are long days.
They are.
And it's not, you know, they're full. Like, her brain is getting jammed with information all day long. And I just think it's incredibly impressive, her resilience and her ability to handle all that. It continues to astound me. So I'm just shouting her out for being awesome.
Good job, Christy. And happy belated birthday.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that was just before yours, last Sunday.
Yeah. Good Pisces birthdays or whatever they say.
How about you?
My awesome wife moment. Kristen just got, she's very lucky. I don't know if lucky is the word. It's funny. It's comical because all of her, she has like a big annual meeting across the country, and it always falls on my birthday. Oh. So she always feels really bad, and I, you know, of course, I use the opportunity.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Give her a hard time. But the thing about it is, like, as you well know, when you travel like that, you know, she didn't go to the continent of Africa, but she was all the way across the country for three days. And it's a very whirlwind trip, you know, like, she gets a lot in, she does a ton of stuff. And, you know, like, the kids tolerate me, but mm-hmm. they really, like, they miss mom, you know, like, and so she does such a good job of constant, like, whenever she can, she's, you know, she's not only in a different time zone, but she's also keeping track of our time zone and where the kids are and what they're doing. And, like, can I FaceTime real quick and just say hey to the kids? And that means the world to them. But then the thing that always amazes me when she does this kind of stuff is, she, like you're saying with Christy, she has a million things on her plate professionally, right? Like, her, she's just downloading and mm-hmm. uploading things mm-hmm. constantly in her brain. And then she comes home at like 10:45 at night and immediately into mom mode. I mean, just like flip a switch. Like, here I am, you know, I'm going to go. I promised the kids I'd wake them up real quick and say goodnight and whatever. And just like the gear shift is unreal. It's just like, nope, here I am. We're doing this and this is it. And, like, you know, there's like, you know, we have little ones. So, like, Jewel is, you know, she's little. So it's like, there's a lot of emotions when mom comes home or when mom is gone, you know, like, it's a roller coaster. And Kristen just, like, It's a very fluid, very seemingly seamless effort on her part. So
That's so cool, yeah. Man. Great. That's a great. I mean, it's such a nice testament to who she is and to who both of these women are. I mean, I think we married very like just strong, resilient women, and we're lucky, man. I mean, you know what is very interesting too is that Christy never complains.
I know. Kristen doesn't either.
I mean, and you know, that's awesome.
It's, I don't know how she does it. I feel like, especially by comparison, I feel like I complain constantly. The thing is that I think you and I can both agree that we outkicked our coverage. That's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be coming home from those long days and just, I'd be kind of locking myself in a room and needing to decompress for a couple hours. Holy cow.
All right. Well, now that they have a full ego and can hold this over our heads forever. Yeah. Something awesome you've seen, read, heard, experienced?
Yeah, I'm going to share real quickly. My oldest recently joined Scouts, cool. Which is really interesting. Yeah, I mean, literally, when I say recently, I mean like within the last month and a half. Mm. And, you know, Christy and I are both really excited for Connor. It's a great, you know, great opportunity for him to engage with other kids his age and to do really, really cool stuff. So I've gone to a couple of these meetings, just two. And I've been there at the beginning of these meetings. And I have to say, I'm so incredibly impressed with these young kids. And the, you know, the organization as a whole and what they're doing to really empower these kids and let these kids take on leadership responsibilities. But I think the thing that's touched me the most is that two of the kids at the last two meetings have come up in front of the entire troop, right? These are kids of all ages, probably from 8 or so to high schoolers. And they're talking about these service projects that they created. And I just think it's like a really, really wonderful thing when an organization like this is offering opportunities for young people to get involved in their community, right? Mm-hmm. And to be active in some way and help take care of others. It instills these really, really important values that are really tremendous on so many levels. And I'm really excited for Connor to start to have those opportunities as well. So
yeah,
I'm just giving a quick shout out to that, you know, that network, any network like that, that is doing things that is helping to instill goodness in others and helping to give people a better understanding of the community around them. So very cool stuff.
That is super cool. It's it ties in well with our guest today, even speaking of the life of service.
That's cool. A great point, man. I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's a great point. Good what stuff. Do you got?
Speaking of tying it in with the show today, I was actually, you know, sometimes the running joke or whatever you want to call it is always like, man, go touch grass. Like, just get out there and like, you know, get out of your bubble, get out of your, you know, cycle of phone and text and blah, blah, blah. And so I decided to do that the other day. And spring is springing here somewhat. It's doing that like fake out spring where it's like, it's going to be 50. And then today, it's 25 when I woke up with snow on the ground. That's just your typical Ohio. But the thing about it is we are in the Cleveland area, and whenever spring happens, and it happens in the fall as well, we are, you know, year round, obviously we're surrounded by rivers that feed into Lake Erie. And one of the coolest things that I've found here that I was not aware of until I moved here is that there is a fish species that we talk about actually a little bit with Tim Norris today, called steelhead, and they are what's called anadromous. So what they do is they go out into the lake, and then in the spring and fall they come back in to spawn into these rivers. And these rivers are like, you know, the river near our house is not really a river; it's a creek, and you can jump over it in certain parts. But these fish come in from the lake, and they're massive. They're like 30 inches long, 9 pound, you know, huge.
And did you say anadromous?
I did. How's that for a science
could
lesson?
Could you spell
today?
That, please?
I can. Anadromous. Anadromous.
That's one of my... I use that word daily. That's one of my favorite
words. You're just testing me. Anyway, it was one of those things where, not to make, you know, like I can nerd out about fishing all day long, but the thing about it was, though, as I was walking along this creek, I was just kind of marveling at the wonder of Mother Nature in general, of like, wow, isn't this incredible that this species who has, you know, like, they're not smart, like they have a brain that's smaller than a marble, you know, like they're not, but they do this and they come back to the exact same breeding grounds every single year for years. And I was just kind of like, you know, there is so much happening in this world that is crazy complex and nuts, and you know, you can get really bogged down with it if you choose to, But look how amazing this is. Like, this is just the simplicity of life right here. And there, you know, like it's one of those things where you just kind of have to pause, take it in and appreciate it. And you may never know that it's happening. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, that was my kind of awesome, like, man, the world is a wonderful place. It's a crazy place, but it's also a very, you know, there's so much to marvel. So,
yeah, so much to celebrate. I'm really glad you brought that up because a lot of conversations I'm having with people these days are on the opposite spectrum of that. And people who are feeling uneasy or, you know, unsettled with the state of affairs in the world. And I think you make a great point there.
Thanks, man. So we already kind of talked about our sponsors. We don't have anything lined up yet, but we're getting there. So if you have something, timandtravpodcast@gmail.com. Why don't we jump into our guest, Tim Norris?
Bring in the other Tim.
Bring in the other Tim. Here he is. All right. So we are joined with another Tim. Tim Norris is here today, and we are very excited. As we've all talked about, this is the season of talking about passions and extra things that we all do on the side. And Tim is no exception in being somebody who does something super cool. Like some of our other guests have as well. So we are very excited to talk to you today, Tim Norris. I might have to just continue to call you Tim Norris. So that
Can I jump in? Tim, please. If this goes really well, we may bring you on full time and we'll call this the Tim and Trav and Tim podcast.
that works, right? I'm open to it.
Let's evaluate that at the end.
All right.
All right.
So Tim Norris and I share a passion of fly fishing, and I hate to admit this publicly, but Tim Norris would outfish me any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Every time he sends me pictures, all I do is dream out loud about how I wish that was my fish or my location or my expertise. So if I start to fanboy, that might be part of what's going on. But
it's all smoke and mirrors.
Don't be humble. But Tim, if you could kind of tell us a quick thing about yourself, like where you're from, you know, your what you normally do on your day to day, and that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. So, born and raised in the west side suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio, Avon Lake and Bay Village. It's where I live now, currently. Right. I haven't been here constantly. You know, after I graduated from college, I spent time in Erie, PA, Chicago, and 6 years in St. Louis. But you know, like the, salmon coming home to spawn, my wife and I had our first child, we moved back home to Bay Village. So living on the south shore of Lake Erie, right? Yet again.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Cool. And what do you do in your day to day?
Like for work, I'm a manufacturer's representative. That's how I, earn my living, which it generally needs some explanation, right? So I represent manufacturers that make largely plastic and rubber parts that go into things like vehicles and, you know, thermostat covers and stuff like that. If you open up your car door and see the little accordion thing that protects the wires going from the car to the door, it's called a grommet. I work with a company that makes a lot of those.
Gotcha. Cool.
Pretty random, right?
Yeah. No, well, hey, it's a necessary thing for sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So that being said, you have something of a passion that we want to get into. And so can you kind of describe what that is and your role within it? And then we're going to pepper you with all kinds of questions.
Sure. Yeah. So I am a volunteer with an organization called Project Healing Waters. It's a nonprofit organization. It's national. It's across the U.S. The purpose of the organization is they work with disabled veterans of America's military to help, you know, coordinate fly fishing activities that benefit the veterans' mental, spiritual, physical health. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like the fancy version of it. I mean, the real version is we take veterans fishing. We help them learn how to fly fish. And, it's an experience that I think has a unique benefit for, veterans of the military. in the issues they face. It's also, it has, you know, deep sort of spiritual, emotional benefit to the volunteers as well. It's an amazing organization. There's like literally no words I can use to do it justice, but hope that gives you a sense of what it's all about.
Yeah, for sure. And how long have you been doing that?
Let's see. I started volunteering in 2020. It was, I volunteered one time before everything shut down for like a year due to COVID. Mm-hmm. And then when the, when they came back up and running, there was sort of an interesting series of events. The program was either going to be shut down if they couldn't find a new leader. And so I've been the leader since 2021. I wow. stepped into that role, which wow. we'll probably get into how that happened later.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Tim, are you a veteran yourself?
No, I'm not. I should have said that before. So I did not serve. I'm a civilian volunteer. I would say that, the group is made up of, veteran participants and volunteers, right? The volunteers are probably about evenly split between civilian volunteers and veteran volunteers, but there's both, and I am one of the civilian volunteers. I did not serve, no.
Gotcha. And when you first got involved, like kind of before the pandemic shut everything down, how did you hear about it? Did you meet somebody on the water? I know you're out there a lot, so.
Yes, that's exactly how it happened. Yeah, so like the quick version of this is like, let's see, I moved back home from St. Louis. I was working as a copper trader out there. I moved back home in the summer of 2015. I quit drinking when I moved away from there. And you need to find something else to kind of plug the hole or fill the time or whatever you want to call it, right? Yeah. And so I became obsessed with running marathons, and I was, my daughter at the time was one, we were going to the library, getting books, things like that. My whole life outside of work revolved around like this marathon running obsession. I wanted to qualify for Boston. I did like extreme weight loss. Like I got down to like 145 pounds. I'm like 180 now. Mm-hmm. I was eating so much salmon that I remember hearing somewhere that I was like, God, dude, like there's like steelhead or something in these rivers around here. And, maybe I could learn how to catch them and then, kind of cut down on my salmon bill. And so I got a book on fly fishing at the library and, gradually got more and more interested in that. Went out on a guided trip with a guide named, Ryan McCarger he's now with Covered Bridge Outfitters. He helped me get on my first, and like after that I was like, that like blew my mind, like a 25 inch rainbow trout, catching it on a fly. I don't know, I could think of nothing else. So like I went out and I just became obsessed. Like I was going out on the Rocky every free moment I got, right, trying to catch one on my own, because that you don't feel like you earned it as much when you catch it with a guide, right? Sure. So I was doing that, and I kept a logbook, and I went out like 40 times in a row and got skunked every single time. Wow. until I met Dan, who's the guy who the picture I just showed you, a guy by the name of Dan Zuki, under a bridge on the river. And like he just kind of walked up and introduced himself, and he knew that I had never been there before because he was there like every freaking day. And showed me how to fish what I later learned was basically his favorite hole, his home hole. An awesome place, right? And needless to say, I kept coming back. Yeah. I like lost one that day. I caught one the next day, and over time got to know Dan, and he ended up being a mentor to me. And he was the assistant leader for the Rocky River Healing Waters program. And so he introduced me to the program, through that.
Gotcha.
And I felt so incredibly indebted to this guy that I'd have done anything he asked, right? But, I was just dying to help. Just try and help, pay this back. Because I was just so grateful for him making that difference for me, taking something which is kind of impossible, to figure out on your own. Mm-hmm. and being the guy that just like that, dude, I didn't even ask. Like he just showed me what to do.
That's it. Yeah. So you've paid the generosity forward.
So you know, I mean, we're going to you're probably gonna see as this develops that I could do it constantly, and I would don't think I would ever feel like I'd fully paid that back. That's a it's like trying to fill up infinity or something, right? You'd
Yeah.
like I will be trying to do that for probably for the rest of my life.
Right on.
When you say that, are you talking specifically about the gift that Dan gave you, or are you saying that as it relates to, you know, you're now surrounded by these veterans who have given so much, right? Or is it a little of both? I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
It's both in the sense that like being a part of this community is that's actually the gift. It's not really just learning to fish. But he's the one that introduced me to this community. He's the one that, you know, showed me how to fish and then how to teach other people how to fish and how to do that, you know, but in a great way, right? And you know, showed me the value of those relationships and how to build them and maintain them and so forth. So that's the gift that I can't repay, right?
So you spend a lot of time doing this though. Like what does the I know obviously you spend a lot of time fishing, but like for Project Healing Waters, how often are you doing things with them?
So it depends. It's seasonal, right? I mean, and the last two fishing seasons have been really bad. But it's like opportunity based and sort of desire based. I mean, a lot of times, like you know, like there's like the regular sort of programmatic activities, classes, events, and things like that, which is, you know, something on the order of like 3 to 4 per month. But you know, during peak steelhead season and during, you know, like trout season, stuff like that. Occasionally it's more than that. A lot of times it's just like, you know, somebody new comes in and they, on occasion, it really grabs people. And they're just not gonna let go until they figure it out, right? And so like, you know, when that happens, that, you know, that's actually kind of my favorite thing is to sort of facilitate, you know, get them to a point where like they have the tools to direct that all towards the environment, and you know, they don't need help anymore to do it, right?
It's
You know, be
literally teaching a
self-sufficient.
man to fish.
I mean, 100%, right? Yeah. So it's you know, from my perspective, I mean, it's all about giving somebody the tools so that they can do it on their own. I mean, especially too, if sometimes we never talk about it, but it's and sometimes we do, but you know, when you're talking about people that served in the military, you know, on occasion people have post-traumatic stress, things like that. You never know if this is, you know, something that's deeply therapeutic for them, right? That might help them through a tough time. So, you know, I think it's very important to if somebody wants to develop the tools to go out and do that on their own, that they have them at their disposal, right?
For sure, yeah. And it's such a natural thing too, you know, for those of us who don't necessarily fish or fly fish, there is a connection to the nature of it in general, where it's, you know, it's sometimes I kind of look at it for me anyway, Tim Norris, you probably don't feel this way at all, but because you actually catch fish, but it's one of those like, you know, almost like golf where it's like, well, I walk around, you know, with golf clubs in my hand. I wouldn't call myself a golfer. It's kind of like it's a really nice way to have a walk in the woods. You know what I mean? It's like,
Oh, no, totally.
and we're very lucky around the Cleveland area. For those who don't know, there's a lot of really good river systems, and the metro parks here are incredible. So, you know, we have a lot of opportunities in terms of the nature of it, believe it or
Oh,
not.
it's, yeah, I mean, there's just like, I mean, hundreds of miles of public river access, and not just the metro park systems. I mean, there's the national park as well, which like if you haven't poked around in there, man, it's freaking beautiful.
It really is, yeah.
the Cuyahoga Valley National Park, right?
Yeah.
We're actually doing something with them in about a month.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, so it's in a sense, it can serve as like an excuse to go out and stand in a river when it's 33 degrees outside and the water's got ice in it and whatever. I mean, it's something that you would, that would be pretty insane to do like without a reason. But the process of going out and doing something that's unusual, doing something that's challenging, doing something that your body's maybe saying at first, like, you don't want to do it. Right. And then going and then doing it. And then, seeing it pay off, you get a big fish, right? You make an experience that you're going to remember forever. It's pretty awesome, right? That, and a lot of times that, the reward is just kind of the icing on the cake, because just being out there a lot of times is, does a lot for your well-being on its own.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I could see where that would be very beneficial. It's such a cool program. You were talking about some of the things that, even just your body like says, like, man, I don't know if a 25 degree day with a little bit of ice in the water is the best thing for me to be doing right now in terms of like getting out of bed. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, that's like a challenge. Do I really need to do this? What are, other than that, like, what are some of the other obstacles you've faced in terms of doing this work? Cause I can imagine it has quite a few challenges.
It's less than you might think. To a certain extent, right? I mean, so I have I'm married, I have two children. There's obviously the time element, right? And, taking away, finding free time to do this that doesn't disrupt, my family and so forth. I mean, that can be a challenge at times. Sometimes it's not. You can, luckily, the fishing seems to be best, really early in the morning. So, and my wife and kids are kind of late risers, so that helps. But with work and so forth too, I mean, there's time issues, but, obstacles wise, I mean, I feel like there's not a ton of like external obstacles because all right, you're talking about a volunteer program that helps veterans by helping them learn how to fly fish. I mean, generally speaking, people are just pretty supportive of that idea, right? I mean, right. There's not a lot in the way of external obstacles with that. I mean, I don't know, you have to be a little bit, you have to grow yourself and be very open yourself to make this work, right? I mean, developing relationships with people, it's a unique group of people with unique experiences, and it helps, like, if you honor your commitments and I don't know, I feel like I'm more effective with it. There's a lot of work you have to kind of let go of your ego and so forth and just let things develop on their own. Just letting yourself really care about certain things, like, becoming invested in somebody's success, stuff like that, which, I don't know, it's, at least for me, it was easier said than done. But those are, things that I found help contribute to success. I hope that makes sense.
Can you share a moment that maybe stands out to you that when you were engaged with someone out on the water and, something really profound or exciting happened?
Yeah, absolutely. I got the best one ever.
Cool, man.
So I've told this story to everybody that ever crossed my path and asked me about, why I do this. And it was many years in the making, and it took many years to develop. And it ties kind of everything together. So I met Dan Zuki on the river, right? He introduced me to Project Healing Waters. He taught me to fish. He introduced me to Project Healing Waters. He became a mentor, to me. He helped, a short time after I met him, we found out that the program needed a new leader. I mean, I was obviously not qualified to lead that program. I didn't even really know how to fish yet. This was several years ago. But we kind of came up with an arrangement in which, he was basically the background of the program. He, for all intents and purposes, he led the operations of the program. But he didn't do any of the interaction with the front office, right? With the headquarters and so forth. And he didn't do any of the, all the activities get managed on a CRM, basically. And he didn't do any of that. So we kind of came up with an agreement in which, I'd be the leader in name, and, I'd do the front end of stuff, and he'd keep doing what he was doing, and he'd kind of show me the ropes along the way. I look back on that time period where we were doing it together as one of the coolest times in my life, right? I mean, I talked to this guy every day. He was like a hero to me. I mean, he just was the, I don't, everybody that ever met him thought he was just the coolest guy. I mean, he was just like complete, right? He was this incredible angler. He was always willing to help people, which, I mean, Travis, as you know, anglers, most good anglers even, are kind of keep their secrets close and
Sure.
you know what I mean? And he just shared that stuff freely without ruining it, right? When you benefited from his knowledge and his instruction and, you know, his sharing of spots and so forth, you know, out of respect for him, you didn't want to ruin it for,
Sure.
you know what I mean? So you treated it with respect as well. So, you know, we talked like every day trying to figure stuff out and, you know, get the program going, and we grew it, right? And we didn't just grow it, we made big strides in growing it with veterans of the Global War on Terror. So this is going to be typically men and women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, early 60s, which was really cool, because I mean, you know, I knew there had to be a lot of people out there that served during that time period, and there weren't, you know, prior to that, there weren't hardly any that served in that time period in our program. So, you know, we reached a whole new group of people. It grew a lot, you know, in somewhere along the line, Dan had this idea to start this steelhead tournament, which would have been which was a competition between the Rocky River program, which is the one that, you know, we're a part of, and Willoughby, which was the East Side group, and Columbus, they would come up for it. Yeah. And we didn't know, you know, I mean, this was something new, right? He kind of modeled it off of some tournaments that he had participated in with OCBS, the Ohio Central Basin Steelheaders. And we didn't know, you know, he just said he thought it'd be fun. And it was meant to kind of repair sort of, there'd been some tension between us and the East Side group, and it was meant to kind of smooth all that over. And we didn't know how it was going to go. And I remember talking to one of our vets who had been with several programs. He was a veteran volunteer. And I remember being like, "Hey man, like, what do you think? Like, you think this is a good idea? You think that people are gonna like it?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, they'll like it." He's like, "You probably even tap into some of that camaraderie, team spirit, you know?" And I'm still super green. And I was like, "No, like, what do you mean?" And he's just like, "You'll see." So the first day of the first tournament, it was a cold morning in November of 21, and I asked the volunteers to get there at 6. And I asked the veterans to get there at 6:30, you know, for being there basically before the crowds show up and so forth, so we get our good spots. And I showed up at 5:45, trying to beat everybody there. Well, I got to the parking lot; it's already full of cars and trucks, you know, with American flags all around. They're already there, so I'm like, okay, yeah. So I guess yes, we have definitely tapped into something. It was a pretty awesome experience. We won that tournament. There was only one fish caught in the first tournament that we had from all teams. Yeah. And it was fall, and it was just the conditions weren't great, and our guiding game wasn't quite on point yet, and we've gotten better, and now we do it in the spring. But so there's that, right? So that became our biggest event. That became something that we looked forward to all year, and it kept on getting bigger and bigger each year. You know, I mean, it was amazing. We carried through, you know, a couple years of running the program like that. Me and Dan talking to each other all the time, doing that. And so, the summer of 22, I found out, like, he found out that he had had oral cancer when he was younger, right? That it had been successfully treated and so forth. And it came back. In the summer of 22, he found out it had come back, and he needed to have an operation. You know, I was pretty worried about that, and I started the process of like nominating him for an award, but like because of everything he did for all these guys, I mean, he was like just the backbone of this program. He was like everybody's favorite guy to fish with. Like, everybody learned a million things from him. And yeah, I started the process of nominating him for an award, but I wanted to make sure that he was like healed up before I gave it to him, because I knew he wasn't gonna like it if he thought that I nominated him for it because he was sick. And you know, we're just kind of waiting and waiting, and then, you know, all of a sudden it starts seeming like, you know, it was unthinkable to me that a guy that was this like put together and this powerful, that something bad could happen to him. But all of a sudden it started seeming like he really wasn't doing so good. So I'm like, all right, well, now I got to rush this award through and get it to him, so he could see it in case he dies, right? You know, going through that process, talking to everybody in the organization, getting testimonials from all the the vets they had worked with, and so forth. And it was just amazing to me to hear of all these personal interactions that he'd had with people, how much he had changed all their lives. I mean, he'd changed my life too, right? And it was deeply moving. And I hadn't seen him since he had been in the hospital, and the tournament was coming up too. So the tournament was on March, the first day of the tournament was on March 31st of that year. We finally got, we talked to his wife, Debbie, and me and our assistant leader were going to come and see him, on March 30th, which was a Thursday. We're going to see him in the morning, and I'd never really gotten a chance to tell him just all the stuff, how much he'd changed my, sorry.
That's okay.
How much, he'd changed my life, how much I had appreciated, working with him, and just how much I valued all that. We were going to see him on Thursday morning, and he passed away like maybe 6 hours before that time period.
Wow.
It's brutal, man. Yeah, right. And the last text I got from him was, one, maybe from a week prior to that date, saying something to the effect of, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it to the tournament. There's a veteran with whom he was very close. And he's like, you and Patrick, make sure you take care of him, right? Make sure that you fish with him at the tournament. And I was like, yeah, of course, Dan. Like, don't worry. We got you, And that was the last text I got from him. So then we find out he passed away. And less than 24 hours later, the tournament starts. Oh, so I got to run this tournament now, without the guy that I leaned on for everything, right? He's not just not there. He's gone, right? And I remember there was a moment on the first day that I was standing like a quarter. I could see the bridge where I met him. I was standing a quarter mile away from that. And I was helping one of our guys. We were trying to catch fish. I'd kind of told him what was going on. They knew I was kind of shook up over it. And I got a call from somebody at the Healing Waters headquarters who'd been working on the award. She saw that he passed overnight. She called to offer, her name's Amy Milne. She called to offer her condolences and so forth. And before she got off the call, she said, hey, just one last thing. This is going to sound funny, and I don't normally believe in stuff like this, but, when a great man and a great angler dies, just kind of look for signs. And she offered some examples of when her father had passed, and I was kind of like, all right, yeah, I'll do that. Thanks for the call. Hung up. And I remember looking up and looking down. And so, yeah, I could see the bridge where I met him. I could see, this concrete slab where, I remember I met him. I saw him after he'd caught this enormous fish. I mean, like, dude, he was like, whatever you think that I am, Travis, which first of all is not even true, like, he was like a million times better than that, right? Like, this guy was like, he was the best, right? Yeah. It's just a 33 inch monster fish that he caught on this day that only me and him were out there. And I looked up and I looked down, and just as far as I could see, it was a veteran and a volunteer in every single one of those holes. And I was just thinking, like, man, like, this is it. Like, he's everywhere, right? Mm. Like, he's all around us. This is all because of the stuff that he did. He showed me how to fish this area. I showed as many people as I could. We caught a couple fish that day. Later that night, I get a call from Debbie. This is a 3-day tournament, by the way. So I get a call from Debbie, his wife, and she's like, hey, where are you at? I got to bring you Dan's rod. I was like, what? Like, I don't get it. She's like, no, his friend, he's got to fish with his rod. It was his last wish, right? The friend that Dan asked us to fish with. Mm. I was like, well, I mean, Debbie's not been widowed for even 48 hours yet. So I'm like, no, no, you know, like we can't do that. Like you're not, I'll come get it from you. She's like, no, I told him that I would take it to you. So I have to take it to you. I was like, okay, fine. So we agreed to meet halfway. We met at like a Walgreens, like in between our two houses. She gives me the rod. Though his friends got to fish with the rod at the tournament, right? Like, okay. So I throw it in the trunk. I go back into the front seat and, I'm like, man, oh, this rod's got some kind of power to it. Like I went back and I got it out of the back, put it next to me, right? And just like Debbie, who had driven there with it on her lap, she's like, I couldn't let it out of my sight. And I'm like, no, I felt like I couldn't either. So, you know, the next day we go to fish and it had rained all night long. Everything in the entire, like all the rivers are totally blown out. Chocolate milk, right? Can't catch a fish. Not a single cut fish caught by anybody the next day. You know, I mean, I remember asking Dan's friend, you know, how he felt about fishing with the rod. And he's like, I don't know, man. He's like, it's got some power to it. It's, you know, obviously it would have been nicer if we could have caught some fish. Right. You know, so we called it halfway through that day. I remember going back to, this is a, Cahoon Creek. This is, you know, our home spot, right. Cause everything was blown. Yeah, you can. I don't care if anybody, everybody knows about it.
No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, we were down there and, I remember driving back out there. And so like, this is a place I fished 100 million times, right? Like I know that place, like the back of my hand, if there's a fish in there, I'm going to catch it. And I remember driving back there after just pounding that thing all day, and not catching anything. And I just sat there in the parking lot, like in just like total darkness, man. Like the guy that caught me, everything was gone. Like I was like, just remember thinking like, dude, like, you know, I don't think I'm anything without this guy, man. You're just a fraud. Like, you know, you just took all these people out here, 20 people, you just flogged water all day, didn't catch a thing. And, you know, how are you going to keep doing this? And, it was right at that moment that two of our volunteers, that was, it was Jess Gantos and Jess Suvek. They called me on FaceTime. They were at the creek around the corner, right? And they're like, hey, what are you doing? You know, like they were thinking about it because they knew that Dan had died. No. You know, they're like, come over by us. They were celebrating Jess Gantos' birthday that day. And, you know, they were drinking whiskey and having fun down by the river. And I went and I talked to him. And I don't know. Like I just, after that, right. Like that was like the sign, right. I mean, I was going to go down there and beat that water up again. And I wasn't going to find anything. And I was 110% going to feel worse after doing that. But instead they called me and I went down there and I felt a million times better. And, you know, that night after leaving there, I remember calling around and we were winning the tournament. Right. And, I was like, all right, it's cool. You know what? We're pretty much just, we're going to call it off for the third day, except for a couple people that are going to want to fish. And, that way we won't force everybody to go out and flog the water if they don't want to, because it's still going to be tough. And so pretty much everybody wanted to call it off. They were happy, you know, being in the lead, not wanting to go fish muddy creeks for no reason. Except for Dan's friend, right? Wanted to fish with his rod. So day three. We go out there, there's one creek that I found kind of on my own. And it's only because I'd just been doing research and it was by this guy's house, by Dan's friend's house. And I was like, hey, there's this little creek behind your house. Like, you know, like there's gotta be steelhead in there. It just, you know, I mean, it connects to the lake, right. And it's perfect. And I was like, why don't we try that one today? And so we went out there and, you know, right as soon as we got there, he hooked into one, which was a good sign, but he lost it. But I mean, that was a good sign in the sense that, you know, now he knows they're there. Once you know that, once you make contact, right, yeah. You believe, sure. You start acting differently, right? You start making better choices.
For sure.
So we go a little bit farther and then, you know, Jess, the girl that I met with the day before, she shows up and she's bringing food. And, you know, and good perspective and, you know, good vibes and so forth. And, you know, we're getting there and we walk a little bit farther down the creek and we see this fish, man. That's like, it was 31 inches. If it was an inch, like it was massive. Right. Yeah. And his back's almost sticking out of this muddy creek. And so, you know, Dan's friend is like, gets ready. He's like, I'm going to go take a shot at it. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, let's go. So he does it, and he's swinging a big streamer for it, and he kind of overshot it by like a foot, which is not a big deal because you could just take another shot. But this big fish, man, it turns like 180, like which this never happens. Turns 180, goes around and hits it, just smokes it going downstream. And he's got it on, and I'm like, I can't see anything because it's like it's total mud, right? And he's fighting it, and I'm like waiting for him to tire out. You know, I'm standing there with the net because you got to be able to like see the fish to drive the net down in there and pull it up, right? And the creek's only a foot deep, 2 feet deep.
Yeah, and for those
maybe three in place.
For those who don't know, that process right there is risky because if he does it wrong, the fish goes away.
Like, yeah, yeah, right. You got to get it right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're gonna get to that. But like, so. Yeah. So anyways, you know, I'm waiting for it to tire off or whatever, and he's fighting it, and God, I mean, this thing's just a tank. Yeah. And as I'm doing that, I'm like thinking like, well, maybe I should just go for it. You know, like, I mean, and I'm like, nah, it's too risky. It'll pop off. So I'm waiting for it to tire off. And then next thing I know, the line goes limp, fish is gone. Right. And I'm just like, oh dude, like I'm right back in the same place that I was, like sitting in that parking lot in the creek, you know, right back. Just like, dude, you're freaking fraud, like, you know, you like, what are you doing, right? And you know, so Dan's our friend, our veteran here, he walks up to Jess, our other volunteer, who's just awesome, and he hands her Dan's rod and he says, do you mind fishing with this for a minute? You know, I like to see new people, see how they do things, you know, see what works, you know, and it helped me learn, which is really super smart. I mean, I do the same thing. I mean, it's great, right? So she grabs it, right? She fishes it for like 2 seconds, immediately hooks another fish. And then he stands back up and he says, you mind if I fight it, right? And so, she hooks it, he fights it, you know, everything goes right. I wait for the fish to tire out, you know, go in there, scoop it up, right? And I net it. So I get my redemption shot. So that's like the teamwork fish, right? I mean, it's pretty cool. Like we're like, you know, there's pictures of it. You can see I'm like a wreck. Like, you know, this like we're flanking him, and you know, he's holding the fish, and it was really, really cool. You know, it was super bright outside, and like, you know, this fish is just beautiful. And you know, that was a really like cool, like deep thing. And it, like, I mean, in my mind, I was like, you know, okay, so I can't replace Dan, but maybe a team of us can get close, right? Sure. Yeah. And I thought that was like a really cool and like valuable lesson to learn from it. And so we went after we unhooked that fish, let it go. We walked downstream because a couple of our Marine veterans had showed up in the meantime, and they were fishing a hole downstream. And, you know, we went to go tell them about it and everything, and tell them what we're doing, what was working and so forth. And then Jess had to go. So it's just, me and Dan's friend that were left. And, you know, we're telling them stories, just, you know, hanging out, and, we're walking out of there. And, Dan used to, he tied this fly. It's called the Fire Tiger Zonker. I mean, I could send you a picture of it. Yeah. It is what the logo for the tournament is now, that fly.
Oh, cool.
He used to give it to everybody, right? And I never fished it. It wasn't one of my patterns. It actually is a beadhead. I don't fish anything with any weight on it usually for steelhead. Just a personal preference thing. But, you know, but he tied it for so many people, and he gave it out to so many people that people would occasionally ask me like, hey, what's that fly that Dan ties, that he's always given out. Right. And so I tied an example of it, and I'd show him the picture and be like, this one, you know, and then I'd send him a link on how to tie it. And you know, with the tournament being as hectic and chaotic as it is for me, like I'm walking out the door, I'm grabbing every single fly I can, cause I don't know how many I'm going to lose. And so I, including that fly, right. And I put it in my pouch. And as we're walking out, we're walking by the hole where Jess hooked the one, where he had lost the other one. And I just like found that fly in my pocket. And I was like, hey, look at this. I was like, you want to see if he's got another one for us? Right. And, you know, we tied it on Dan's rod. And, I remember he's fishing it, and he's fishing with an indicator, and Dan was he only swung streamers, right? He didn't use the bobber ever. And so anybody that learned from Dan didn't know a whole lot about how to fish that way. And so he's fishing this indicator bobber, whatever you want to call it. And I remember him saying, like, hey, the one I'm fishing this, what am I looking for to know when the fish is taking it? And I remember, one of my like sort of principles is that I always want people to trust their judgment, right? And so I remember saying, like, it's just anything out of the ordinary, just trust your judgment. And I'm like busy rigging up another, like a backup rig in the background, right? And I'm not even looking. And just trust your judgment. And he's like that? And I didn't even look. I was just like, yeah, because I trusted his judgment. And then I hear like, the snap, right, of the line pulling off the water. And then he's like, all right, he's on. Okay, so now we're back into there. This is one that he's hooked again, right? And like, I lost the last one. I felt responsible for that. And so I go in there, and there's just this interesting interaction between the net man and the angler, right?
True.
Where you got to be connected. And I remember, we're getting in there, and like, I knew I blew the last one. So, like, I'm like, gonna go in like hot and heavy, just gonna like net this thing right away, right? So I go in there to do that, and I can't see it, right? And I miss. And nine, like you're saying before, 9 times out of 10, that means that fish is gone. And I miss. And then I'm like, oh God, like, I thought that I'd really blown it, right? Like again. And I remember he didn't skip a beat, right? He's just like, don't worry, he's still on. I'm bringing him back around to you right now. And he did it. Then I went up and got it. And that one was all me. That one was all him and me. We got it unhooked and everything, and he revives it, and he lets it go, man. Just as it's swimming away, he's like, see you later, Dan. And this guy's a he's a freaking badass, man. Like he's awesome. And I don't know, everything from that moment, I just remember we were like walking out of there, and like the light is like coming down, like it's like crazy, and it's like so powerful. It's one of those times where it's like, and we talked about this like years later after the experience. I was like, man, like that moment, I don't know what you got, like I don't know if there's a word for that feeling, but it's like the same stuff, when like your kids are born, or like when you get married, it's like you just know that it's like gonna be something you're gonna remember for the rest of your life. And he felt the same way. And all that darkness, I mean, not ever getting to say goodbye, not ever get to tell him about, what he meant to me and so forth. I mean, it was all like he trusted that. That's a lot to lay on somebody, right? Go fish with my
Sure.
rod in the tournament, man.
Oh
Like
my
that could have
gosh.
been terrible, right? But he trusted us to make it work.
Yeah.
We did. We did. It was in the 11th hour, but we made it happen. And I don't know, man. Like it just was like great, like sort of bookends on that whole chapter in my life that he was in.
One of the things that I keep coming back to as you're telling these stories is I think the most amazing part to me, frankly, is the legacy of it. Like, I bet, I don't know Dan, I've never met Dan, unfortunately, but I would bet you money I don't have that his rare air is exactly what led to that moment and what continues to drive you and has touched so many different people. And that to me, that you can't replace a legacy like that. That you can't replicate it. You can't replace it. You can't, you don't just drop something in there like that. And to hear you talk about it and to hear you and to, to see you being so touched by it, I think speaks more volumes about him and his work than anything you could ever do. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah.
I think that's just unbelievable. And I think we should all be so lucky to not only meet people like that, but to think about, I can tell you're already doing it. To have that impact on others, like that's the Dan legacy, in my opinion,
Right. So yeah, it's like what I was saying before when I was like, I'll never really be able to repay it, right?
Yeah,
So is that
for sure.
I don't know, you know, I mean, it's, I don't, and I've talked about it like a great deal, like in the time since he passed. Yeah, I even get to tell that story at his celebration of life, you know, that they had about a year after he died, a year and a half. And, you know, it was amazing to be able to share that with his family and friends. Cause I don't know if they'd all heard it before.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's like, so he changed my life. He obviously changed his veteran friend's life too. And, you know, that kind of, this is just such a crazy risk that he took by saying that he's got to fish with that rod at the tournament. And it paid off, man. It was like, you know, if he hadn't done that, right? Like, it's like nothing ventured, nothing gained. But, sure.
It's a lot of,
you
pressure,
know, the payoff
man.
Wasn't. Yeah, right, dude. Like, I was so stressed out. I can't even, like, put it into words. I mean, it was something else, but yeah, it changed everything. And yeah. You know, I mean, so if there is I don't know, you know, it's just I mean, you got to be lucky to find somebody like that too, but like you also got to know it, like you have to humble yourself to kind of like take up the mentorship of somebody like that too. Sure. And so like that was a big step of it for me. Just amazing, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's I also want to add a little bit of context for people. Like, I think for you and me, it kind of goes without saying because, you know, we spend some time on the water around here. But for those of you who don't know or don't fish or don't know the area or whatever, steelheading is kind of fickle. Like, steelheading here, it basically they're lake-run rainbows. Basically, they spend a lot of time most of their life out on the water of Lake Erie, and then they come back into the tributaries and rivers that lead into that water in the spring and fall. And the thing about steelheading is that it's tricky. It's not like like you were saying, going with a guide feels like it's not quite as authentic. You know, it's like, well, we caught some, but like they're guides, you know, they're pros, like whatever. Like, I want to do this on my own. And the number of times that people who are experienced anglers get skunked is often. It is not easy fishing. It is, you know, there's a lot of different challenges for a lot of different reasons, and not the least of which is like muddy water and weather, like you were just talking about from the tournament. And it's really, really challenging. So the fact that all these things came together is such a stars aligned moment that, like, I wanted to add that context for people who don't.
Yeah.
Know.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's like, well, they went fishing and they caught some great fish. You know, like, that's really cool that he used his rod and his fly. It's like, no. It's more than that. It's like, it's that plus the incredible challenges that there are of just doing this at all, you know?
Right. It's funny because it's like maddening in a sense, because like they're the dumbest fish in the entire world, right? Like, I mean, if you can find them and the conditions are right, like you're going to have trouble not catching them. But then like there's some days where it just doesn't work, right? Or it becomes almost impossible. Right. And I remember thinking that like at the end of that day that it took every single thing that I had ever learned from Dan, every single thing that I had ever learned on my own, and a lot of luck to make that go down the way that it did. Right. You know, to play the part that I did, right? I mean, and Dan's friend, obviously, like, same thing for him, sure. Right? You know, finding meaning and stuff, or, you know, fulfillment or whatever. I mean, it's all of that, right? Like, the fishing alone, is not, like, it's great and it's therapeutic, but it's not the same thing as the relationships that you would make through, you know, a group such as this, or, sure, you know, working with people like this. And maybe even, I mean, there's something uniquely awesome about working with veterans of the military. I mean, they're just the most awesome people I've ever known. And, you know, it's just that, like, just an amazing privilege to, be able to share these experiences with them. You know, sure. I kind of joke, I say, I'd do it for free. I mean, I do, right? It's really something else. So, you know, I mean, it's, Dan always used to say, it's not about the fishing, and it's not, right? I mean, it's, that's just the backdrop, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, man, oh, man, I'm like, I'm inspired. So, okay, I do have a couple of questions here.
Sure.
We have an impact question that we ask everybody. I think I probably know the answer to this one, but I do want to ask it just the same. Can you name one experience or person that has ever had a profound impact on the person you are today?
You know, I mean, I could name others, right? But like, there's none more profound than than the one with Dan and his veteran friend, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But
I don't know how you
yeah,
top
that
it, to be honest.
yeah, right now it'd be kind of difficult. I mean, there's people that I've met. There's a Marine veteran named Jared Klucho who runs the Columbus program, and the amount of energy and discipline and like everything that he puts into their program, and you know the amazing things he does for the people down there is truly inspirational too, right? I mean, okay, yeah. So here's one. On that same weekend, right? He leads the Columbus program. That's our competitor in this, right?
Sure.
And when he found out that Dana died, they were actually, the tournament was 3 days and they were only planning on fishing two of them. They were only planning on fishing Saturday and Sunday. When he found out that Dan had died, he left Columbus at 4 in the morning and actually helped our group fish on Friday. Right.
Wow.
So yeah. Not that, I mean, it's the competitive aspect of it isn't really that serious, especially not between me and him. But like,
Sure.
but you know, I mean, just like, yeah, there's guys like that too that are just you know, the whole organization's full of people that are just in so many ways.
Just
Yeah,
incredibly
he's another
honorable.
one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's cool. That's a great shout out.
yeah
Okay, so unfortunately, I could like look, you and I have talked about this before. We could talk
do
for
you can
hours
cut as much of this as you want, dude. Like,
here.
don't worry about that, you know. I
No,
know I'm going long.
it's all good. And I, like I said, I could talk to you about this for hours, but if people wanted to get involved, like let's say somebody's either here or in another area where Project Healing Waters is involved, how do they go about doing that? Like, can you give a quick plug on like where to find
Yeah,
them?
I mean, there's a if you just it's just projecthealingwaters.org, and I think there's a link somewhere in there. It's like get involved, and like it'll or even there's another link in there that says locations, and if you click on the location, you know, you'll be able to find the program that's closest to you. I mean, so I'm just the volunteer leader of a program of, you know, it's between 30 and 40 veterans in the Cleveland West suburbs. But there's programs all over the country. I mean, especially in areas where you know, where the fishing's really good.
Out west and stuff, yeah.
So yes, right. So I mean, like almost definitely there's something located close by. Yeah, they're especially concentrated in places where the fishing is really good, or like in places near military bases where there's a
Oh,
lot of
sure.
veterans and so
Of
forth, right?
course. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you go to the locations, and anybody who is a who's served in the military that thinks that you know, the program would be of some benefit to them, or anybody who has you know, even just a tiny little bit of fly fishing experience but a desire to help, I mean, you can find the location that is closest to you and find the contact person, the leader, you know, to contact, and you can email them and figure out how to get involved.
Cool. So projecthealingwaters.org, right?
Yeah.
Right on. Cool. Well, that's great. Tim, thank you so much. You know, for those of us listening at home, Tim Cummings had to bail real quick because he had a family obligation. But I know I can speak for both of us when I say thank you so much for taking the time, not only to explain your passion and to talk us through it, but also just I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I'm sitting here with tears in my eyes, and I'm so touched, not only by your experiences and your storytelling, but also just about your commitment. By your commitment, it's very inspiring, and your passion really comes through. And I thank you so much for laying that out for us. That honestly is a gift in and of itself. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, thank you for giving me the opportunity, right? It's just it always, to me, it just feels like it's like it's borrowed or on loan from somebody else, right? So they just pass it on. So
Yeah, for sure.
just trying to keep that going.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you out on the water. And
Yeah, of course.
again, thank you. And yeah, we'll see you out there, man. Thanks again.
All right, cool. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Tim Norris, thank you very much. We sort of explained this, but Tim Cummings had to jump for some family obligations. You know, totally understandable. This is one of those things where I think we probably could have talked to Tim Norris for hours and hours and
I
hours on
know.
end.
Yeah.
And he's so passionate about it, and we really appreciate it. So if those of you watching on YouTube or whatever, if Tim Cummings disappears there for a minute, that's all that was.
I'm not a magician.
Well, I don't know. You
Oh, thank you.
shapeshifter.
That was a really interesting. I mean, what
I
I
know.
was there for the majority of it, and I
Yeah.
was very touched by, you know, his journey and his experience. And I really appreciate him being so vulnerable with us and open. Mm-hmm. You know, totally. You could tell that this man, I forgot the gentleman's name. I'm sorry.
Dan
had a really profound impact on him. I wonder, you know, it made me think about just those people in our lives that kind of come and go and do that for us. And, totally. You know, how often we take the opportunity to let them know just how much they mean to us or how much they've helped us, you know, get to a certain place in our lives that is better than where we were before.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. It's not just the legacy you leave behind. It's also, you know, how you set other folks up to do the same, you know?
Yeah. 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 And he's doing that, right? I mean, Dan's influence on Tim is now, you know, impacting other lives. And it just sounds like a great organization as well. Like, what a special group of people. And I'm not a fisherman. I've never fly fished in my life. I mean, I've heard the most exposure I have to it is through you. And I can tell that and that's a wonderful thing. Like, I sense your passion for it. And I do see the value in it. And I think that that's a really cool space to exist together where these people are coming together to kind of be out in nature and do something that's a little bit different.
Totally. Yeah, that's well said. Yeah, we'll have to get you out on the water at some point. You should probably come over here with Tim Norris because then you'll actually catch fish. You might just look at me and wonder why I'm so passionate about constantly losing.
I wonder, he gave me the impression that you weren't as bad as you make yourself out to be.
He's being nice.
I don't know if fly fishing is for me. I don't know if I have the patience.
Well, I will tell you this. Because I remember going fishing with you as a kid. And we'd go to like the ponds and stuff and catch bluegill.
Yeah, sure. We use hot dogs.
Yeah, but that was like less, it's like less active than fly fishing. Fly fishing is like, you know, you kind of have to always be doing it. Like, you can't just let a bobber sit, for example, you know.
Okay.
It's like, and not to slam on the other types of fishing at all. I've done that for years and years, but yeah, I think you're concerned about the patience level. It's like, it doesn't really actually require that much patience.
All right, that's
patience,
fair.
But
that's fair.
We'll get you out there, and then you'll be like, man, this is really meditative, and then Christy will hate me because you'll never want to
not be fishing. Everyone will, she'll go down to the water and get your dad.
Exactly. So, well, that was another good episode, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. A couple more to go for the season two, and then at some point we have to gear up for season three.
Yeah, for real.
So
crazy. Who ever thought, you know?
No comment.
Not either of us.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoy this lovely weekend, Trav.
You too, buddy.
Yep.
Good to see you.
You too. Take care.
Tim and Travis on the mic, talking life and what's it like. Middle age, it's quite the ride. Finding joy and chasing pride. Career dreams and daily grind. Funny moments that we find. Letting go of yesterday. Making paths along the way. Middle age. Middle-aged mayhem breaking free, finding out who we can be, laughing, learning all the time, Tim and Travis in their prime. Every step a brand new plan, older, wiser, still we stand, navigating through the years, sharing stories, laughs and cheers. And learning all the time, Tim and Travis in their prime. Every step a brand new plan, older, wiser, still we stand. Navigating through the years, sharing stories, laughs and cheers. Middle age, enjoying the fun, middle age has just begun. Tim and Travis lead the way, every episode will slay.
Sorry about that, man.
Hi, Tim.
Hey. You know, one of these days I'm going to beat you to it, and I'm going to be the first one to say hello.
You should do it. Do it right now.
I hope when you edit this that you just make me first.
I will. I absolutely will.
Thank you.
We won't dig into that.
Tim, whenever I speak, when I'm done, if you could just laugh really loud, that would help too.
Yeah, you better start vacuuming because Christy, she's not pulling her weight.
Put that in the outtakes. Oh. Dude, If I had control over that, I would definitely be doing that.